Welcome to Androids and Assets, a weekly podcast about the political economy of all of our favorite science fiction and fantasy series. Join us as we investigate the hidden meanings in fantastic worlds and what the future can tell us about today. We upload new episodes every Monday. We hope you enjoy it.
Hey, I'm Marshall.
Yeah. And I'm Steven.
We're here today. We're talking about Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. It's a film, a very beautiful film, based on some science fiction comics from, the 70s or so?
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah, the early 70s.
French-Belgian comics. It's a story about humanity in the far-flung future, out in space. It's a ripping good action movie.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that we're very much here today talking about the Luc Besson film Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, and not the comic from which it originates.
Not the comics at all. This is just about the movies, and really we'll talk very briefly about the movie as sort of an overarching thing, and then kind of get into a few of the political and economic sort of ideas that we saw in the movie, mostly that aggravated us in the movie.
Yeah, I'd say. Things that put bees in our bonnets. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking for just a review of the film overall and some of the troubling aspects of people's relationships, this is not the podcast for you.
No. Although I think some of the gender politics, I think we'll touch on. But if you want a good review of this movie, actually, a couple of guys called Jeff and John over at System Mastery, their podcast Movie Mastery, I think they do it great justice. Listen to that one before doing this one. It's a good one. We have also seen the movie, but anyway, we talked a little bit about in the introduction about kind of the method and the theory of the show. So I guess we're going to go in for that. And just, again, this is the notion we're trying to convey here is that just in the same way that science fictions get us to think differently about technologies, either in loving them or being scared of them, the same thing applies to social concepts, economic ideals, and political concepts as well. And I think Valerian is certainly actually rife with a lot of those, although mostly in a very liminal way.
Yeah, no, it does not go into depth, I think, on anything, but particularly on how its economy functions or why it has an economy
that we would politics. Recognize. Yeah. We know it has a sort of United Nations alpha, the setting of this movie. Oh, and there will be spoilers here, guys.
So oh, just, yeah, if you, that's a good warning. Yeah,
if you have not seen this movie and you really don't want us to ruin it, you need to stop.
This is a good place to hit the pause button and come back in a couple of hours after you've seen the movie. So, right off, the movie starts and it's describing how the city Alpha that sort of split from Earth was created. It was the International Space Station. It was a beacon of cooperation between warring nation states on Earth, China and Russia and the United States and everything. And as we progress to the future, we see the space station growing and becoming bigger and taking more and more. And then we see extraterrestrial life and aliens coming and visiting. And they stay on this space station and it grows and it grows. And eventually, Earth says, we just can't maintain it anymore. We're sending it off like an 18-year-old to college. Let it do its thing.
It's going to the Magellanal Drift, whatever that is.
Yeah. it's out in space.
A warp current.
And then we jump to the future, where we see Alpha in all of its glory, huge lines of space traffic coming in and out of the city, planetoid. I'm not sure exactly what to call it. It is a city.
Yeah.
I guess. And the voiceover describes, you know, the different races, living species of alien living in the plant in the city, and it describes my favorite line: the economy was in shambles, and that's where I just was like,
yeah.
What's going on here? We just saw lines of space traffic in and out of a city. There's clearly trade happening.
And there's all these prolonged shots. So the one thing they set you up with is that Alpha is divided into quadrants. So there's the north, south, east, and west, they call it, which is again, aggravating in space, but you have. You start with the robot banking quarter. They do all the, they make circuit boards. You see them carving circuit boards into gold, and apparently banking, which is fine. There's the fish aquatic side, and they do all sort of the bioengineering. They produce all the food for Alpha, and then you have just weird sort of dwarf aliens, I guess, who, the non-hairy dwarfs, they live in caves and they make balls of shining metals, and apparently they can manipulate any matter into any other kind of matter. This isn't, so, they just say
we'll get back
offline.
To that.
Yeah,
which is huge! That's
and
amazing!
Then, and then the last quadrant is the human kind of baseline.
And presumably humanity offers some sort of governance structure.
They've been there historically.
For everyone else, and maybe a military.
Yeah, the only thing we ever
Which
see humans doing is being soldiers.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Nothing really productive. So the economy is in shambles, and I want to touch on that. Because we see that Alpha has, obviously, a functioning economy. There, several times throughout the movie, they're in marketplaces that are crowded, with people not just being there to be there, but are buying and selling products. We see the population of Alpha is growing. They talk about this being another problem, that there's more people being born. So there's not a mass exodus out of Alpha. And Alpha is really its own thing in an open system. If it's in shambles, you just leave. You go somewhere where it's not in shambles. But everyone was quite happy to crowd to Alpha. So the population is growing, there's trade happening, there's imports, there's exports, there's production within the system. There's nothing about it that says the economy is in shambles. But, and I think this happens a lot, stories and authors will just say, oh, the economy was in shambles, as a way of just saying, generally, things are bad.
Yeah, it becomes a way to mediate a sense of crisis. And I think that, by and large, happens in fiction because that's how we, in our discourse, in our society right now, are doing that. Right?
For sure,
so,
yeah.
So the economic problems, because, you know, it becomes then, oh yes, joblessness, poverty, these things are not just economic. They're not happening just because of economic reasons. They're happening also because of social reasons, you know, race reasons, gender reasons. And there's actually quite a whole bunch of other factors, but it's nice to reduce them to abstract mathematical platitudes by saying, oh, it's the economy is stupid. Who said that? That's a famous... That's
that is.
Something,
it's
very
90s.
Stupid. It's the economy is stupid, yeah.
We'll look that up.
Okay.
So the economy is nothing... There's nothing about the economy that is in shambles. We do find out that their governance is in shambles. We find out that the humans are threatened with losing their historical place of prominence in Alpha. Other aliens are saying, well, what do you even do here anymore?
Yeah. Well, largely for their military misconduct.
Yeah. We see moral bankruptness in humanity. We see them engaging in genocide. And so I think in a lot of ways the alien aspect of Alpha is probably right to be wanting to get rid of the humans who are, yeah, sure, they may have started this place, but they're kind of just bumming along now.
Devious and genocidal and egomaniacal. Even Valerian, even our human heroines, Valerian himself fits that build quite perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, not to say that Alpha doesn't have troubles, particularly for the human population, has troubles, but the Alpha economy, from every, you know, sort of evidence that we can gather, is just, it's trucking along just fine.
No problems here. And so the economy is fine. If there are people who are disenfranchised from that economy, that is for reasons other than the economic health of, other than the economy.
Certainly. For sure. And there may be individual people who are less well off than others. There,
or
somehow in this economy, we have some people who are rich and some people who are poor. And my confusion here, I think, comes from the fact that we have dwarves who can turn anything.
I don't know why I call them dwarves. They're very lizard-like.
We're going with dwarves.
Okay, all right.
They're lizard dwarves.
Lizard dwarves.
Who can apparently, transform any material, any matter into any other matter?
It seems that way, yeah. They have a completely... They can kind of just make any sort of chemical or material that then the other sections of Alpha, the technology sector and the biological sector, can then sort of harness into conceivably any sort of finished good.
And this really is a pretty brief description of a post-scarcity economy.
We're going to be talking about this a lot in this podcast,
I think it's going to come up a lot. It will. Sci-fi has this problem, I think, frequently, and sometimes doesn't realize it has this problem. And Valyrian, I think, suffered from this, that they created this sort of system that allowed them to create whatever they wanted without thinking through the repercussions of creating anything you wanted.
See, and I don't think that's a problem. I think you can have that. If you just because you have that power doesn't mean that you create an egalitarian society out of that.
No.
It just becomes that way because people have chosen that, and I think that has merit, and again it applies to what are the kind of like, what is the social conditioning, or what is the expectation that we're promulgating for people.
Maybe that's true. Maybe I just watched way too much Star Trek as a kid.
Yeah, and Star Trek says, yeah, we got this technology, we're doing it. And we'll talk about Star Trek probably
not to get into Star Trek
at a much higher number episode. This is so people keep us around. Like, oh, they got a Star Trek one coming out. I'll keep listening.
I guess maybe yes, there are people in power who could say, yeah, we don't have scarcity anymore, but I still want to have more than someone else. And maybe that's what Earth was kept around for. The humans were kept around as muscle to keep some people rich and some people poor. Because if there's a technology that lets you create any matter from any matter, it doesn't take long before everyone's standard of living, the base standard of living, is so high that the difference between wealthy and poor is just so negligible that we don't even care anymore.
Or it could be. It should be.
I think maybe I'm too optimistic again. But I think if you have the technology readily available to do this, and you have a sufficient supply of matter, which I think they do, there was oceans on their city, so you could drain the oceans
To make widgets,
sure.
Valyrian and the city of 1,000 widgets.
I think if you have this amount of technology and you have a large enough population, when they're disenfranchised, they're going to outnumber the franchised, and they're going to be able to get the resources to do something about it because they can't run out of resources.
Are you suggesting the working population would supplant the ownership class at some point?
I'm saying eat the rich.
Okay, all right. This got intense real fast. So all this to say that post-scarcity seems to be present in this society. And in light of that information, it is indicative of then a host of other problems or the presence of these other problems is indicative of something being very off in this society, I think. Or is just nonsense. It's just Luc Besson has reached a adult point in his old age. I think there's something science fiction suffers from across the board. I think you're right. It's just people just not thinking about that fact, or just having so internalized again our own class structure.
Transposing
our existing social norms into the future, and seeing no reason why they can or should change.
A really beautiful future with spaceships and armor that looks good on anybody.
And this is going to be the fundamental difference. This is the argument we're going to have over and over again in this podcast, I think, is between, like, will the future... I mean, in order for the future to change, I think, again, like, social and political things need to happen. Because, as we see, technological solutions can present themselves ad nauseum, and they won't translate into the kind of change that people actually need. Unless people make that happen for themselves at a certain point.
Yeah. People changing is the more important thing than technology changing.
In summation, then, I guess, kind of, we're talking about this. I think politically, the thing for me that made me feel like this was very 70s was actually what you were talking about at the beginning, that Chinese and American module.
Yes.
Docking in space, like the naivete and the naive reading of internationalism is just something that you don't find anymore, and that, I think, and as much as, again, a lot of people hated it, Valerian is a serial workplace sexual offender, like, there's no doubt. but aside from that, like, I really enjoyed seeing something that was like the thought about, like, a true connectivity of humans regardless of their cultural background actually coming and working together in a global scale. It was really beautiful, and something that's completely absent, I think, from the narratives we're producing today, where everything's become increasingly factionalized and regionalized.
Yeah, and I really liked as well that humanity kind of got it together on its own before aliens showed up. lots of times humanity only gets together because we're forced to realize, oh crap, there's other people out there, and they've got it together.
Yeah. The xenophobic Nietzsche,
right.
Unity. A fascizoid, a racialized human unity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Organic. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's also really.
And it was that was nice. I liked that. I liked that we kind of were like, you know what?
Yeah.
We are. This is our planet, and we are going to get together.
Don't watch Manet on us.
They're not good guys.
So that, in a nutshell, I guess, is Valerian and kind of the... Oh, one thing I want to talk about is beyond this also, just something I read in the criticism in researching this, is a lot of people were talking about, like, China's role. So one of the title cards is a Chinese company. I don't know exactly which one it is. Because it's a coalition between Europa Corp. Anyway, but there's a Chinese conglomerate that was part of this movie. And one of the things that keeps coming up, and it's becoming, I think, a thing in film criticism, is people basically offloading responsibility onto the Chinese. So just being like, you know, this sense of movies are getting so bad because the Chinese movie going public isn't very discerning. And I think that's racist bullshit. I just want to put that out there. That is crazy. The Chinese movie-going public is as discerning as the American movie-going public, and this whole xenophobic bit about the globalization of the cinema market needs to stop. I'm begging you. Stop doing that. But yeah, so, all right, those are kind of our themes. That was what we picked up on. Is there any other kind of things that struck you were important, or
that touched on everything for me. Yeah, it was a great movie, very beautiful to look at. If you haven't seen it, I would say it's okay to watch.
See it or don't see it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say you should,
but if you do see it, remember this is priming you to think about economy and scarcity, and is again. Showing you about, like, how the fact is that the ability of a society to produce and have wealth is not the same of a society's distribution and management of wealth, and often the way the conditions under which that occurs through the mediator of, you know, in this case, very 20th century internationalism can often be drenched with all kinds of really disgusting crimes, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so that's Valerian and the City of 1,000 Widgets, planets. Thanks so much for listening. Music from this episode has been from An Ant and an Atom. Thanks so much for your support. In the recording, we say, it's the economy, stupid. Somebody said that. Who said that? We'll look that up.
Yeah. No, yeah, I want to put it. It's James Carville.